Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. Our object these days is to, go through one book of the Bible at a time, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we've ended up in the book of Proverbs, and we're at chapter 7. And verse 1, My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And I was thinking about the public school system this morning and how they separated the Bible from the public school system so many years ago. The public school system was set up by godly people. I wouldn't say it was a public school system. It was really an effort to bring some kind of formal education in, and it morphed into the public school system. And as with anything that's established as an institution, the evil of man's heart always enters in. And now the public school system has become something that is totally evil, totally against our Creator, against His law. They will not teach you His commandments. As a matter of fact, they will teach you that His commandments are an abomination. And they are an abomination to the public school system. It depends on what your object is. Well, what is the object of education? Well, the object of education is godliness, really, when you think about it. It says here, bind them, and speaking of His commandments and His law, you're keeping it as the apple of your eye. And, you know, I have to say it isn't the apple of my eye. It is one of the things that I love more than anything else in this life because His law is life to me. He says, bind them upon thy fingers. So whatever you do, all the works of your hands, whatever you set your hand to do, His commandments need to be there direct in your hands and your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now we have a man that's writing this, and he personifies wisdom. Thou art my sister, and understanding is your kinswoman, perhaps your mother, your aunt, but your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman. Let me ask you, men out there, how many of you having sisters and mothers or aunts or women in your family, and they see you hanging out with a, or overtaken by a woman who, say, perhaps is not too reputable? Oh, you know exactly where I'm going, how they would feel about this. And that's how we're to look at wisdom and understanding. Like they are our sister or our mother, like they care about us, and they have an insight when we lose sight, that they may keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her lips. So we have the preacher here drawing an illustration for us, and he continues, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement. So we have the preacher here, the man who's writing these words of wisdom to us. He's sitting in his house, and he's looking through the window, and he says, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. So, a man who grew up in the world, perhaps attended public school, and he thinks it's great when he sees these advertisements for these movies about how these young men in college are going to have exploits and get all the babes. And that's what their life is all about because they're so simple-minded. They don't have a law of God to guide them. They have no understanding. And then you have these sitcoms about these guys, and that's all it's about is their exploits with women, or at least for the main part, an abomination. But simple-minded, nonetheless. Because they're so simple-minded, they aren't guided by their mind. They aren't guided by understanding and knowledge and the commandments of His law, but they're only guided by the instinct of their flesh. You know, and our Heavenly Father created us, and we all have instinct to a degree, yes, and we all have to deal with our instinct, especially if we have understanding and we strive to keep his law as the apple of our eye. We desire to live by his commandments. Then we have to battle against our instinct at times. But our Heavenly Father gave us an instinct for a purpose, and we understand what that purpose is if we have understanding. But the simple, they don't have that understanding. They believe that the object of their life is just to follow that instinct to the gratification of their flesh. So we have the preacher here. He's sitting in his window, and he's going to tell us what he beholds. Let's join him here. He says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She had clever words. She understood how to deceive and how to entice, subtle of heart. And here, parenthetically, it says, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, now lieth in wait at every corner. He's giving us a little insight into her character. Of course, now he's observing this from his window. So, you know, he's observed her character throughout the day, giving us a little insight into the way that she carries herself throughout the day. She's loud, she's stubborn. Her feet don't abide in her house. Now she's in the street. Now she's out. She doesn't keep her place at home. She lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And you're just the man I'm looking for. You are a good-looking man. You know, these kind of words. You know, we're going to use modern-day vernacular rather than 1800s King James version. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. In other words, she's saying, let us have a one-night stand. You know, just a one-night stand. No commitment. You're free. You can leave in the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man, and that really means the husband, for the man is not at home. She's talking about her husband. He is gone on a long journey. So, you know, not only is she a harlot and a fornicator, but she's an adulterer. She has, you know, she has a master. She has a husband. She says the good man of the house. She's trying to assure him now, and at the same time letting him know how deep in he's getting. For the good man of the house is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the time appointed. So she says, he's gone on a long journey. He won't be back until such and such a day. Just rest assured, you won't get caught. And she said, you know, further explaining just how deep in he's getting, adultery, it's absolutely wrong because you don't want to get caught. You know, and if you're not doing something wrong, who cares? You know, I'd like to get caught doing something good. You know, I mean, not necessarily get caught doing something good, but if you're not doing something wrong, you don't fear getting caught, right? And he will come at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yes, yea, many strong men have been slain by her, for her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You know, as we go through the Proverbs, it's all about God's law, keeping his commandments, and it's all about wisdom and understanding how these things are for your life. And then you go into the public fool system, the public school system, and they teach you that they can't enter into you. They can't teach you anything about God's word, that's not a good thing. So they teach you, because of their exclusion of God's law, their exclusion of God's word, what they're teaching you is that it's not important. No, not important at all. As a matter of fact, it's against their law to teach his law. So they are against God's law. And then your children spend, you know, 30, 40 hours a week being taught all of these things that are more important than God's law and God's word, than the words of our Heavenly Father, than the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that's being expounded upon here by this book, Proverbs, to us, that none of that is important. These are not the important things of life. Go to church on Sunday and get that. Then you go to church on Sunday, you know, you get 1 hour a week, and the parents will go into the service, and they'll send their children into the daycare where they play with other children. And even if they do get a little, you know, a little Bible story or something like that, they usually have some kind of activity, and they'll learn the Bible stories like Daniel in the lion's den and things like that. Sometimes they're learning more than the adults are if they take those stories to heart. But they're never taught, given real understanding as to the meaning of those stories, how Daniel was defying the police and government authorities to keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father, the law of God. He would not break the law of God, even though he was required to do so by his master, by the state. They would never word it quite that way. It's just a cute little story. And see, yes, how watered down it can be. But then you go into the congregation there for an hour, and the preacher gets up, and of course he can't preach against the public policy of the state because he is a minister of the state. He is the minister of a state non-for-profit corporation, and as a minister, having signed an agreement, as a minister of a corporation, having signed an agreement with the state that he would obey public policy, that he would allow the dictates of the state, whatever willy-nilly they may be at whatever time, you know, always changing because, you know, they have all those legislators up there that have nothing better to do than to write the law and change the law at every whim or at every behest or whatever, for whatever reason. They can change the law, but yeah, that's okay. The minister of the corporation, the head guy up there, he's agreed that he won't go against public policy because that's what's required. So he can't even speak against the public schools in the church. Did you know that? That goes against public policy. So if your preacher is up there and he's a member of a 501c3 corporation and he's the pastor of that church, if he speaks against the public schools, he's breaking the law. Yes. If he speaks against homosexuality, he's breaking the law. He's breaking his agreement. And that means that the state can now come in, because he's breaking public policy, that they can now come in and take the property of the church and they can give it to another corporation that is similar, that doesn't go against public policy. They have a right to do that because all the property of the corporations belong to the state, because all state incorporations are public trusts. And by that mean, anytime you see the word public, say government, public schools, government schools, public broadcasting, government broadcasting, any just public, you know, whatever you see public, that means government. But no, Yahushua, they teach also in the corporate churches that the law was nailed to the cross. The law is dead. That's the Old Testament. Well, that was for the Jews back then. But I'm going to ask you to consider something. Jesus, he said, I have not come to destroy. Don't think, or I use the King James translation, think not that I am come to destroy the law. That's what he said. Don't think I've come to destroy the law. Think not that I've come to destroy the law. No, I've come to fulfill the law. So he didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. Now, we know which part he fulfilled. He fulfilled the sacrificial part. He put an end to the sacrifice because he became the sacrifice. He didn't come to destroy the law. He didn't come to nail the law to the cross. You'll find that phrase nowhere or any phrase like it in the scripture, that the law was nailed to the cross. The commandments were nailed to the cross. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. I submit that not only did he uphold the commandments, but he raised the standard. He said, speaking of adultery, because that's the context here in Proverbs chapter 7. The context is adultery and harlotry and fornication and all of these impurities, sins of impurity, of sexual impurity. That's it encompasses all of them, but the most egregious being adultery. But he said, you've heard it said, Jesus going back to what Yahshua said. He said, you've heard it said of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. So he's bringing up the law. But I say unto you, and I'm going to transliterate or translate this into modern terms. But I say unto you, if you get an email in your email box that says, have a fling, there are lonely wives out there that you can have a fling with this weekend. I get these junk emails in my email box. Delete, delete, delete. And if you open up that email and you entertain that and even pursue it, but actually never do it, you've committed adultery in your heart already. See, he raised the standard. He said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, okay, so if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. Of course, I define lust as a desire to do that which is unlawful. So if you look on a woman to lust after her, then you've committed adultery in your heart already. You're going to tell me that he nailed, that he killed the law, that he destroyed it, contrary to his own word? Think not that I've come to destroy the law. So he's saying, don't even think it. Don't even think that I've come to destroy the law. Think not. And then he draws this illustration. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on a woman to lust after her, that you've committed adultery in your heart. So not only does he uphold the law, not only does he say, don't even think that I've come to destroy the law, he has raised the standard of the law. He has upped the ante. Not only can you not do the act, but you can't even entertain the idea of doing the act. Now, certainly, we're all tempted to entertain the idea. Certainly, we've all been tempted, as all men are tempted in like things. But what do you do with the temptation? Do you throw it down? Do you hold his law and his commandments as the apple of your eye? Is his law before your face? Is it guiding your way? As it says here in the beginning of this chapter, it says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you won't look on a woman to lust after and commit adultery in your heart. He raised the standard. The law is not dead. Don't even think it. Put it in modern terms. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law. Don't even think that I've come to destroy the law. Don't even think it. And as we go through Proverbs, you need to keep those things in mind, that you can't just slough it off as so many people do and go, oh, that's that Old Testament. Oh, that was for the Jews. That's what they say, the ignorant, the simple-minded, who just want to throw off God's law. They're just looking for an excuse to continue in their sins because they do not want to repent. And he says, you're void of understanding. You're one of the simple ones. You don't want to understand. You know, there's another scripture that I hear quoted a lot. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and I will heal their land. But no, that's the wrong verse. No, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the one I was thinking of. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I hear that one bantied about a lot today. But rarely do I hear people continue and read the next verse. Because it's an incomplete thought. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have forgotten my law. I will also forget your children from being kings and priests for me. That's pretty much what it says. Not exactly, but that's the gist of it. People choose to forget. They ignore it. The ignorant ignore his law. You know, take the ignorant. It's not simply lack of knowledge. They ignore it. They are willingly ignorant. And as my good friend Kent Hovind says, that means dumb on purpose. If you're willingly ignorant, that means you're dumb on purpose. I like that one. Okay, so that's chapter 7 of Proverbs. That's my take on it. But remember, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So keep that in mind next time you're tempted to even entertain or take sides. And, you know, that's another thing that people aren't aware of. There are so many people that are guilty of sin without ever participating in it. And that's tragic as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, you know, he drew that illustration. You've heard it said of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on a woman to lust after her, that you've already committed adultery in your heart. So you can be guilty of the sin without ever taking, you know, participating in it, in the act. And the same thing is, hey, how about abortion? How about all of you people that are for abortion rights? You think that, you know, and you're out there and you've never committed abortion. You've never had one, but you think it's okay for other people. As a matter of fact, you not only think it's okay for other people, but you're out there standing up for their rights, going to the rallies and whatever, yay, and voting for the guy that's going to give you let you continue your abortions. You know what? You're guilty of murder by the standard, by the raised standard. The standard that Yahshua raised, you don't have to commit the act yourself. You don't have to be a murderer. You just have to be for murder. And that makes you a murderer. And, you know, that's a shame. That is really a shame. Or any other sin. You know, it's like the people who go, I've heard this said that, you know, if we went back to the law of God, that now we would have to kill all adulterers. Do you think that would be right? Because, you know, they'd have to kill a lot of people if they were going to have capital punishment on adulterers. But what they're saying is adultery is okay. They become participants by rallying for the cause of unlawfulness, of breaking God's commandments. Can you be guilty by assent, by consent, by being entertained? And how about the movies and the sitcoms? And going, yeah, go. Or you see the movie where the woman is not in love with her husband anymore. She's in love with this other guy. And the plot gets you to empathize and sympathize with the adulterers and the adulteress. And you're entering into a sin. You're allowing yourself to be entertained and swayed by the plot. And it's so romantic. Yes, everybody wants her to get the guy that she's really in love with. You know, that she's really in love with. It's so romantic. That's romantic love for you. That's not agape. That's not the love that he commands husbands to have toward their wives. And it certainly is not the obedience that he commands of wives to their husbands. We'll be back in a couple minutes.